In Jesus' name, amen. The holy seer, St. John, in the lesson which we just heard, points to time and eternity. He gives us the big picture. He leads us on a tour to that first of the seven churches in Asia Minor, the universal churches, and to the city of Ephesus and to that church. And he says, this is where God once planted a garden. That's my theme for today, where God once planted a garden, created a paradise. We might use the words of John Milton, as I will try to close with this great theologian. First, consider the garden or the paradise lost, and then the paradise regained. We have to, of course, in the apocalypse, always get tuned in. The imagery is so almost vague and from all different directions and sides that it's difficult for us to see anything until we see everything, and to see everything until we see all the individual details. Our text is the first of the description of those letters to the seven churches, beginning with Ephesus and ending with Laodicea in chapters 2 and 3. And in each of these letters, the word of Christ, the Lord, the Son of Man, is addressed to the individual church and that particular situation. A title is given for Christ. There's a body in the letter consisting of praise and blame and so forth. And then it closes with promise, one or several promises. And again, there is a progression, as has been noted again from vision to vision. So here within the vision, there is a progression. The first church, Ephesus, centers in the Garden of Eden and the beginning of time. The second, Smyrna, we are already in Egypt and in the days of the 10 plagues. And the third, in Pergamum, we go to the wilderness journeys, and there we meet Balaam and Balak. And the fourth, in Thyatira, we go to hear about Jezebel and Ahab. And the fifth church, Sardis, we go to the remnant of Israel in Babylon. The sixth, we are in the restoration period, the second temple period, and finally the Laodiceans, where the final judgment upon the church of Israel at the time of Christ is meted out. So in this first one, we're to recapture and recall the situation in the Garden of Eden. And it was there in that garden where God not only said, I am the maker of this garden, but I am also the preserver. He holds this garden, and those are the two words, holds and walks, two participles, attributive participles that we have in this text. He holds the garden. He holds everything in his hands. It said specifically, he holds the seven stars. The seven stars in chapter 1 are defined as the angels, the heads of the church, the pastors of the church. And he walks with them. He walks among the candlesticks, and the candlesticks are the seven churches. So we have a quite complete picture going back to Genesis, where God, in the cool of the day, walked with man, met man in the garden. And there they had spent many happy hours talking face to face with one another. And now in Ephesus, we find this garden restored, and the Son of Man, that Son of Man with those weird sort of figures, his long robe and golden girdle, with hair white and with eyes like flames and feet of bronze, and the voice like the sound of many waters. And he is holding the stars in his right hand. And he is walking in the midst of the candlesticks, the churches. He is present in this church. Suffice it to say that this imagery is a far cry from in Ephesus is a far cry from that imagery in the original Eden. There it was. There it was, absolute perfection. As we just read, Makarios, there was absolute blessing. Nothing was wanting. Ephesus, quite a bit was wanting, but it did have one thing that in Ephesus, the church could still hear the voice of God, but not face to face. That was withheld. It was in the words of the angel to the church, the words of the pastors to the church. But above all, in each of these, including also the church of Ephesus, something was wrong. There was a problem that had to be rooted out and that had to be repented of in a long-term basis. You have left your first love. You have been so busy fighting, struggling, striving that you have taught yourself to hate those Nicolaitans. So one old Southern fried preacher said, those Nicolaitans, those are the lay people, aren't they? They're the lay. You see that word in where etymology has gone riot. The works of the Nicolaitans you hate and so forth. But they had tuned themselves up so much to hating things and being against things that they had forgotten to love the Lord their God and His Word and to love and express that love to one another. I have something against you, and that's what it was. But above all, this group, this Ephesus church, still had the tree of life. It was planted there. And to the one who would be victorious, the promise was, I will give you to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The best that Ephesus can give is, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We can hear God speak. Christ is still with us, and that Son of Man is still with us, even in the glorified state, is still with us, walking with, but we do not see him face to face. We try ever so hard to get closer and closer, and therefore we go through, I think of my old father, I read, get those 1972, 73, 74, he was still going through the Hebrew in the book of Job, and he could hardly read, but he could, on the little Concordia guide, his annual, he could still write about two words. He wanted to get as close to the face of God as possible, and so he dug through the Hebrew and stayed with the Greek all of his life. Well, it's a rather dismal picture in Ephesus. It's like the church today. But, brethren, we have hope. We believe that where God once planted a garden, there the full Edenic blessings will also be restored. We believe that paradise will be regained. We believe, as Peter proclaimed to the council and to the people in Jerusalem, that the times of restoration of all things which God spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets, that these will come. We believe that just as Jesus once restored, and I'm following the histemi, kathistemi, apohistemi, and so forth, that as Jesus once restored the withered hand in the synagogue at Capernaum, that there will be a total restoration of Edenic blessings. We believe that as he once healed the blind at Bethesda, so he will also restore, and there will be a complete restitution of all things. We believe that you are young. Some of us are old. We're kind of, my daughter writes, sends a Christmas card, you're almost over the hill, but it's better to be over it than under it, a resurrection cemetery. And her theology was quite poor, actually, but it was a humorous thing. Some of us are just about over the hill, and like old Job, when worms have destroyed our body, yet this is our hope that we will be restored and we will see him with our own eyes just as he is, and that this is the great expectation which we have as we look into the future. In the meantime, we're permitted not to see him face to face, but only to hear him speaking through his word. The tree is still before us. Its buds, unfortunately, this old bronze cross could never express that, what the wooden cross is. Buds grow, beginning to grow on the end of this dead tree. Its buds are beginning to burst out, and it's already giving us hope for the future. The tree of life will once again give us full ambrosial fruits, which we have been longing for these many years. The promise of Leviticus 26, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you will be my people, is already being fulfilled, but we yet wait for the full, where we, person to person, eye to eye, face to face, will see him. Milton talks about this in Paradise Regained. This is the second of his great works. Who erstwhile the happy garden sung, by one man's disobedience lost, now sing, recovered paradise to all mankind, by one man's firm obedience fully tried through all temptation, and the tempter foiled in all his wiles, defeated and repulsed, and Eden raised in the waste wilderness. Thou Spirit, who leads this glorious Eremite, this hermit, Jesus, in other words, into the desert, his victorious field, against the spiritual foe, and broughtst him hence by proof the undoubted Son of God inspire. And it goes on. And he concludes, where ruin and desperation and dismay are seen all around, who durst so proudly tempt the Son of God, so Satan fell. And straight a fiery globe of angels on full sail of wing flew nigh, who on their plumy vans received him soft, and it goes on to that garden, and from the fount of life ambrosial drink that soon refreshed him wearied, and repaired what hunger, if aught hunger had impaired, or thirst, and as he fed angelic choirs, sung heavenly anthems of his victory over temptation and the tempter proud. And the last lines, thus they, the Son of God, our Savior meek, sung victor, and from heavenly feast refreshed, brought on his way with joy, he, unobserved, home to his mother's house, private returned. That is our hope, to follow in those steps. In the meantime, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.